Matrix. I'm Jonathan, and I'm left of center.
And I'm Rich, and I tend to lean a little bit more to the right. But the bottom line is together we try to look for the balance of what it means to be human in today's world.
All right, let's get started. Welcome to Living in the Matrix, everyone. I'm Jonathan. This is my co-host, Rich. Say hello, Rich.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Heat Wave Part 2. It is 93 degrees in normal 70 degree Ventura, California, and hope everybody's staying cool out there. It's toasty.
Awesome. Today we have this. I have been thinking about this for a couple weeks now and looking forward to it. And they said yes. Today we have Bailey and Annie. Welcome, the two of you. It is a pleasure to have you. And I'll introduce you a little bit, but go ahead and say hello.
Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure. It's great to see y'all. Actually, it's been a couple weeks, and so it's great to see y'all's faces.
Absolutely. So Bailey and Annie were our guides in our ayahuasca ceremony. And this episode is about unpacking the idea of the ayahuasca ceremony, Bailey and Annie's journey, and really understanding what is this thing that is popping up. I have 25 friends who have done an ayahuasca ceremony. So it's not like it's fringe anymore. People are going out to the deserts. They're sitting under the stars, or in ours, we sat in a geodome, and they're creating a space where they can face their trauma and the things that are really keeping them stuck, and they're doing medicine work. So I want to start with sort of understanding what drew the two of you to this idea.
As in working
in
with
ayahuasca. Yeah.
I can tell you how I found ayahuasca and then what led me onto this path. You know, it was probably 2016. I was in a deep, dark hole that I dug myself, and I was lost and depressed. I had, you know, PTSD. I was in the military, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what my purpose was, why I was here. And, you know, I was on YouTube, and I was just looking for an inspirational videos, and just for anything, just give me a little hit of like happiness. And a documentary on ayahuasca popped up, and I was like, that's it. And 2 weeks later, I was down in Costa Rica doing it for my first time. And I'll tell you about my first couple of nights with the ayahuasca. You know, the first two nights, I didn't have any experience at all. I thought it was some kind of crazy cult. They were trying to brainwash me with the music and all this stuff. And then the third night, I sat down. I was like, okay, I'm just going to surrender myself and just be open to this experience. I had never done a psychedelic before in my life. And so I got to that place where I surrendered, and my experience was a brain surgery by these Egyptian, how can I explain it? It was the Egyptian praying mantis is what they looked like, with the feral hat, and they had these cones on their hands that looked like, you know, the barber shop. They had those poles outside that spin. And they're going through my brain, and I just hear this popping and popping and all the stuff. They were rewiring stuff in my brain, and they left. And then I laughed uncontrollably for probably the next 3 hours, nonstop. It was laughter is a beautiful medicine for me.
And
it was
feeling joy?
All the joy. It was all this pent up stuff that I was holding on to from childhood, from all that stuff that I never just released. It was released through this laughter, and it just opened me up, opened everything up for me. There was just so much more space in my embodiment, and I knew right then and there, this is what I want to do. I want to help people.
I want to be amazing.
And just that led me on the path of finding other ceremonies, and I went down to Peru for a while and volunteered at a couple of retreat centers, and then I found this church that brought me in, and I started working for them, and I just fell into the role of a facilitator, and now that's where I met Annie, and now this is where our path kind of began.
Annie, how about you? How'd you get started?
Yeah, same thing. I was in the dark hole, I couldn't, like, my friend, she had HER2 positive breast cancer, which is a really aggressive breast cancer. And she started taking ayahuasca with this solo woman. They do one-on-ones. And then she started bringing it in. Like, she got her own medicine and she did it like every other day, and her breast tumor shrunk completely and was gone. And she described the medicine as teaching her how to go into her trauma and to heal it. And so that was pretty miraculous for me, because she had like a 50% chance of surviving. And it was shrunk in like 2 weeks. And then she did a surgery, and because she had some of the cancer in her lymph. And they went in and there was nothing there. There was no cancer. It was all gone. And so part of her journey was, so I met a lot of people down in Peru through her. And I also, she also connected me with the same church. She told me about the same church. She was working for the same church too. Cause she, after that, she was like, all right, my life's plant medicine. I'm going to go down and study with the curanderos down there. And so she still does. She's doing a dieta down in Peru. Like, she's still doing one. It's been like a 3 month. Well, she's going to do like a 4 month dieta.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So 4 months of just a really, really strict diet. And you down with a shaman, and you do the medicine along with, you do a master plant, and you, the master plant has a teaching for you, a healing or a teaching or both. And the ayahuasca opens up all your senses so that you can receive the teaching. And then the diet, the food that you eat or don't eat, lowers your, like lowers your stimulation. It's really non-stimulating food, so that you are sensitive to everything around you and sensitive to that plant, so that you can learn the lessons of the plant. And so through her, she introduced me to this, I guess you could call her shaman woman. I don't know what to call her. She's a little fairy. And I did the medicine with her, and didn't feel it the first time. And for some reason, she didn't give me a second dose. And I was pretty angry with that. So that was my integration on that. And then the second time, I laughed hysterical the whole time and thought that Jesus was the answer to everything, which in some ways he is.
He is. Yeah. That's awesome.
Jesus is the bleep. And then the third time, then it got me. Then the shadows came out, and I was like, oh, okay. Okay, this is what's going on here. And it scared me the third time, but I keep going back. It's kind of like, I'm a musician. And when I was a kid, I had to play. I wrote songs since I was 12. I play piano, I play guitar, I write songs, and I'd have to, and play jazz, and I had to perform on stage, right? And I would keep doing it. Like, I was 15 and I bombed. I performed in front of my whole high school and totally bombed. And then I did it like again and again and again. Even if I bombed, I had to keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I had to keep playing. So like with this medicine, regardless if it was like hard or easy or blissful or not, I had to just keep doing it. Like, it's a calling, like you can't help it. And so it's like, how did I end up, you know, working with Bailey and kind of organizing this group, is like, I just have to. Like, it just, you know, it's like there's an impulse that just kind of arises, and I just follow it. So I started working with that group, and I worked with another woman in particular, and she trained me a lot. And then the medicine teaches a lot. When you put yourself in the positions, it will teach you what it, your spirit or your medicine will teach you what you need to know, and along the way, if you listen.
Wow. How would you describe the process of ayahuasca versus what you know about other psychedelics? Because again, Jonathan and I have been studying this for a while. We've seen amazing work with psilocybin, right? Johns Hopkins University, where stage 4 cancer victims have had a hero's dose. and they're fearful, and they come out of it without fear. They have this cosmic feeling of being connected to love, to the source, to the universe. We've heard this with acid. PTSDs can be solved through MDMA. There has been a push for these things. How does ayahuasca, in your mind, either level that playing field or provide something different that the world should know about?
Yeah. Well, first with ayahuasca, it seems there's some kind of initiation with the purging and the discomfort that you have to go through to get the
effect,
like the full benefits. Yeah, the full benefit of that, to kind of go through it. And something about ayahuasca, it really brings you inside of yourself. Like you go into the jungle, you go into the darkness, you go into that with ayahuasca. So you're able to tap into the darkness. You know, really the ayahuasca is like a spotlight. It's kind of showing you all the stuff that kind of needs to reveal itself and allows you to get a different perspective of what you think is going on and then what's really going on. And so, I don't know, what do you think, Annie?
I mean, they're all beautiful. I mean, they're all help create a space and an openness for you to open up yourself enough to feel the trauma or feel the shadow, you know? So they're all an opportunity for that. And they all have a different kind of energy, I think. And I'm not as familiar with other psychedelics. I don't work with them a lot, but particularly with ayahuasca, I feel like there's a strong teacher in that medicine, strong guide that's kind of telling you, this is why this is happening. This is what's going on here. And I don't really get that with the other medicines quite as much. Like some of them feel a bit more intimate between me and my mind. you know, some of them are very technical, and ayahuasca feels very physical. Like it's going to go like I like my little metaphor is like you're drinking liquid light into your body, and it's going to reveal all the shadows and trauma in the body. And so it's very physical and physically healing. And really, I think it helps us along with our cleansing. Like Bailey was telling me, I don't know if I want to get into this, but if there's parts in the body where there's trauma, are like parasites and like candida and all that kind of stuff will go right to that trauma spot. And so it's like even harder to heal that area if you're trying to rid yourself of parasites or disease or things that are like affecting the wound. And so like this is really an opportunity to really fully help heal, going into those areas that your body is protecting yourself from and won't let you in. This medicine really does do that. But as far as the difference, it does feel more in the body, doing more of that physical healing than other ones. Others seem to be a little more up here.
Well, it's also, from my perspective.
No, that sounds fair. Yeah, absolutely.
It felt like a medicine, whereas like LSD or ecstasy or psilocybin, they can be used much more recreationally. I wouldn't see anybody doing ayahuasca recreationally. It's not in that vein. It's meant to be like, I loved how you guys really created such an atmosphere of compassion and joy that really pervaded the room. It was through the entire night, because we went till 3 o'clock in the morning on both nights. It's in a different category. And that's why I walked away really feeling like, for me, it was very much a medicine, because we've had several guests on the podcast that talk about the experience and having done it like 11 or 12 times, and that it's a progression of first getting over yourself. Like for the first night, I was trying to get over myself. Like I was resisting it. And then the second night I was like, okay, I had this wonderful Saturday afternoon ready for Saturday night. And I was like, okay, And then I had these wonderful experiences, and it's like a progression of learning. The more you surrender, the more the guide will tell you what you need to do with. And that doesn't happen in the other psychedelics. It's very almost directed in that way. And that's why I think it is a different class of psychedelic, because it's very much medicinal. The purpose is to face what's going on inside of you. It's to get to that root of what's going on and help you purge it. And as our friend Whitney would say, when you purge, you don't feel like it's bad. You realize, oh, I'm releasing something. And I didn't feel that until I was sitting right in front of you, Annie. I'm sure you remember when I was arched, just vomiting. You handed me the bucket, and I was like, I'm in the middle of a room with 23 people throwing up. And I realized, no, this is a ceremony. It's like an initiation. I'm going through something. I'm suffering from something for the sake of releasing the pain, not holding on to it.
Well, I'm always rooting when people are purging. I'm like just rooting them on, like, because I'm. It makes me feel good because it's such a release.
It is. Yeah. It's a release.
It is.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, because one of the things that you both mentioned is that it didn't work for you immediately, and we hear about this, right? There's a combination of things. It could be surrender. It could be, you know, dieta, right? It's. You know, Jonathan and I were screwing around with social media, even in the middle of that week, right, where you're supposed to pull back and you're getting desensitized. And I think there's something about the intentionality you bring to that week, right? But there are catalysts. There are also other traditional medicines that, not necessarily medicines, as you say, because it's tobacco, but there's additional, you know, things you can do to help kick things in. Can you describe a little bit more about the tobacco or other things that have been helping the process work itself out a little bit better?
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is the biggest blockage, I guess, to the experience is the mental chatter. Mm-hmm. It's getting out of the head and dropping into the heart. Mm-hmm. Not trying to be the bus driver of the experience, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest hurdles for people, is to be able to do that and to be vulnerable in that space. But we use tobacco. It's mapacho. It's like jungle tobacco. It's kind of like abuelo. It's a grandfather energy, like a protection. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we get people to, you know, to kind of blow the smoke across their body. And at the beginning of ceremony, just kind of clear that energy and bring in that protection. And even during ceremony, people will come up and get a sopala if they need some clearing, which is like a blessing with the tobacco, and kind of trying to move that energy. Tobacco does a lot. It has a lot of good energy, a lot of healing ability used in the right way with the right intention. And, I guess along with the mapacho, there's rape or hape, which is the ground up tobacco and wood ash. You know, each tribe kind of makes it a little different. That's another one that's used with, you know, intention goes a long ways with that as well. But that's used during ceremony to, it can help move some energy, as in a purge that needs to come out. Rich, you experienced that with the rape.
Yeah, I did. And it wasn't painless, right? But it was absolutely cathartic in terms of, yeah, I mean, you watch Michael Pollan do it at the beginning of How to Change Your Mind on a Netflix series, right? So he had it done, and I saw that and just what he went through. But for me, it went like right through the back of my head. And then there was this...
Rich, explain the experience, because it's important.
It's like you're fully animated and aware of things, but at the first few seconds, all you're doing is just trying to hold on to your breathing and your body and your nostrils and everything. It's a rush, right? It's a full rush, just like a good when you're smoking tobacco. There's a rush to that, but this was that on steroids. And the first time I did it, it was a milder, let's say, example. And I did purge after that a little bit later, and it was a little bit of a purge. But the second night, Bailey, it was a little bit more significant in that I literally had to lean over and just let it go. And the thing that I would say is it's about the breathing and about just being in that moment and embracing it. And the beauty of it was once that purge happened, that's when you felt like you could just be free. It's where you could just now start to experience things around you. It's where you felt people. I went outside and I just hung out with some fellow, you know, practitioners or what have you. The moon was breathing and was a beautiful lotus blossom. It was a feminine night. It was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. And it was a catalyst for me because I was a little stuck, right? And so, I mean, I would recommend that and have some tobacco experience before you go in if you're ever going to try that. But I will say that it was very helpful for me.
I thought the hape was invigorating.
Yes.
It's essentially a snuff that they blow into your nostrils with a pipe. And it's very much a ceremony. It's like an experience the way that he created that. And it's like Rich said, it's like the back of your mind is just blown out. And I think what it does, how I took it, is it's this sensation of what aliveness feels like. It's like all your senses are on firing on all cylinders. And it kind of woke me up to getting out of the way because I had just vomited. I just purged. And then I did it. And it was like a whole new chapter to go into because I was still feeling the ayahuasca pretty intently. And then it created a great shift for me to kind of, okay, move past the purge. Now I've got the freedom to really say, okay, what is the rest of this night of light? It was the whole element of the experience was like the music. And the second night we did a lot more dancing and just kind of this sense of community that the whole ceremony, I think that's the thing. It's not just the ayahuasca. It's the ceremony that brings so much of the intention to the process. And I want to commend you guys because I walked away telling Rich, I said, the thing that captured me the most was your level of intentionality to that space. Because I've been doing this a lot of times and I've seen both sides of that. And you guys carried it so wonderfully when people were having hard times. Share a little bit about how you've crafted that since you started it to create what did you guys copy the ceremonies that you've learned or have you added to them? How have you guys grown that?
Yeah, absolutely. We copied and from several different shamans and facilitators. And we've also learned what to do and what not to do. And I feel like Bailey and I, our intention is to fully come from love. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have some technical stuff, you know, some container structure, things like that. But just really, we want this place to be where we fully come to love and help people move into their heart space and just to try to have as for a lack of a better word, maybe high vibrational, you know, space, mm-hmm. you know, where we're really holding a space where mm-hmm. our intention is to bring in either a high vibration or to bring in higher self, to bring in God, to bring in love and just like the medicine is, you know, to be the medicine, to reflect the medicine, to reflect love, to reflect God and hold that space and not against the shadow or the darkness at all, because that's going to be something that comes out for us to all love and integrate and meet. So,
yeah, you know, the container is important. It's because people need to feel contained and safe and
yep.
be able to open up and be vulnerable. And so we don't have a physical container like that's protecting people, but it's the intention in the whole
yeah.
space and knowing what to do with certain times. Like we're really hands off because it's a personal experience between you and the medicine. And so we're hands off unless there needs to be something, a movement of something, of an energy. to keep the container sturdy.
And we had several moments like that in the ceremony. When do you decide to participate in what's going on? Because you sort of set the intention, let everybody have their own experience. But when do you decide to sort of participate in what they're doing? What's going on to make you kind of answer that question?
If someone asks specifically.
Sure, of course.
And then if someone's really going through it or making a lot of sounds, I'll check in on them and make sure that they're okay. Also, if someone's making a lot of sounds, we'll ask them to go to a different space so that the container in the room can stay where everybody can experience their own personal journey, right, and not like the other person's. Although that can happen too. We're all in the room together and the group heals the group, and the group is what is outside of us is inside of us. So if they showed up in your experience, there's a little piece that you want to work on and you want to see, and there's a shadow in that. But yeah, I guess those two things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It can be tricky, right? Because sometimes people need to go through certain experiences, and who knows what that looks like. And so it might be some noise and stuff, but it's something they might, in that moment, they need to go through. And like Andy's saying, like, we're all intertwined. And so we all end up, our journeys like weave together in this experience. And so someone's going through something on the other side and you're sitting up here struggling and they're purging really loud. That might be something that you needed over there. It's like, oh, I needed to purge, but he's doing it for me. I really appreciate that. And so when we step in, it's okay. It might be disturbing the whole room. Something we might need to move this energy out so people can stay in their zone, in their place. And so we try a bunch of stuff before we actually like, well, let's take you to a place where you can kind of express freely without having to worry about being a disturbance. Right. So, you know, we'll come around with agua de frida or Palo Santo, just trying to clear energy, or maybe tobacco might help. But if it's consistent, then we'll take them to a different space so they can like really, you know, go through that experience that they need to go through. And so
I felt that specifically with the drum, and then Bailey, when you played the ukulele, there was something magical, and it was a transition. It was a movement to move others and to move yourselves. And sometimes it involved, you know, people getting around, and sometimes it was individual, right? And so sometimes you're like center stage. But I think one of the things that was so profound to me, and again, this is what's crazy. It's the dieta beforehand. It's the intention you bring to the ceremony. It's the smudging. It's the actual ayahuasca. It's the music. It's the ebb and the flow and the ceremony itself, right? So that's, again, it's a huge distinction between this and anything else you might do out there. And what I loved about it is that whatever you knew, whatever you've experienced, whatever somebody, you know, literally and explicitly comes to you, sometimes it just seemed to flow and you just felt the people, and there was this wrestling and striving sometimes, and then they were just relaxing and everybody was in themselves. And then it would rise up to something very funny and we were laughing. And I think that's part of the magic, right? And that's why I have to do this again, not only because I need to go deeper into the shadow, but also just to have the experience and to just learn from what Pachamama has to show us more. One of the things that you brought up Jesus before, Annie, and one of the things that Christians believe is at the end of the day, the good guys will come back and there'll be no more shadow and darkness. And there'll be this kind of eschaton, right? Where there's this new Jerusalem. And Zoroastrianism, I think, and like if you think about the force, it's always a duality, right? It's always light and dark. What do the indigenous tribes, and what has your experience been? Is there a place where there will be no shadow anymore, that we will have the light finally, we'll get rid of it all and we'll be able to live in this amazing kind of thing? What's your thought on that kind of stuff?
I mean, no stone will be left unturned, right? When we reconcile with God. So all the shadows will be revealed, all the, you know, when we, and that is reconciling with God, I think.
Okay.
Is meeting the wound, meeting the shadow. That is the reconciliation. That's the balance. That's the, it's all the same, you know? Yeah.
Well, you even shared with me that your whole idea was around church. Yeah, because your whole idea of you could see this turning into a church and a community. I felt that. There is a deep sense of church. I've said to you, that was the greatest church experience I've ever had because of the level of intentionality that you've created. And I grew up in the church. I have a degree in theology. I went to a Christian college. You know, it's like, it's the experience. What's that?
I was a worship leader.
Yeah.
Wow.
About that. Yes.
The music comes from. Yeah. And your voice is so beautiful.
In like Vineyard. Yeah.
Vineyard, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, charismatic. Very charismatic. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Charismatic. And we did the whole like speaking in tongues and the
100%. Yeah. Now we're familiar with all that. You know, there was, what's his name down in Van Nuys? Oh, my gosh. He was Church of the Ways or something like that. Oh, forgot his name, but yeah, it was, I mean, that's what, I mean, that kind of yearning and groaning, the earth, all creation is groaning. That's what's happening right now. It's groaning and yearning, and it's waking up mentally, but also in its own, in its gut, right? That's the groaning is like a woman in childbirth. That's the kind of description you get out of scripture. And it seems like a rebirth is coming on, right? And I think this is a way to facilitate that, right?
Yeah, it is. It's a teacher. It connects us with God. It connects us with the truth. It connects us, you know, it teaches us how to meet ourselves, meet the darkness that's been hidden, you know? Yeah, I think it's totally, I'm very grateful that I have a background in reading the Bible because it all makes sense now. Yeah. Like the living word makes a lot more sense when you have the experience of God, when you actually have not someone teaching you and telling you from words and the mind connecting with it, but connecting it from your soul, your whatever words, you're a light, your truth. It's a different experience. So it's nice to have all of that going on for me personally. I don't know if I answered your question though.
You did. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Bailey, what was your experience of God growing up? Was it new when you had the ceremony or did you sort of have a background?
I had a little bit. I go to church ever so often. And then when I was going through my depression, I really got into like reading the Bible and Christian apologetics and all that stuff. And I found a really good church, and but that was the extent of it, really. I mean, I love the New Testament, like Romans always makes me feel good. But wow.
Could be some heavy theological stuff in Romans, but there is some really good. That's amazing stuff in there, right?
Because I think that was the thing that I would encourage anybody going through the ceremony, prepare to meet God. The Mama Aya is this divine feminine that kind of is a teacher, but at the same time is not going to let you hold on to your bullshit. And I think I had the second night, I had a very present experience. I went through my purge and I didn't have anything happen visually. The first night I had a lot of visual first, but the second night it was all second. And then I purged, I laid down and I closed my eyes and my third eye just opened. The visuals were intense, but it wasn't just the visuals. It was the presence of God. And I saw this orb that looked like it looked like a lava lamp going in 16 different directions, kind of like that. And I knew it was God. Have you guys had that experience going through this?
I mean, yeah, I feel like I've had full on awakenings over and over and over again, and it's
because that's the intent of why I think this is medicine. Is it almost gives you the possibility to kind of cut through all the bullshit and experience God. And I know a lot of people that were there with us had that type of experience.
Yeah, it was a beautiful weekend. It really, really was.
It removes like that separation feeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's the best way I would describe it, is there was no barrier between God and myself. I was part and connected to God. And it was, this is the way it is. It's not their separateness. This is the way it is. So it was ushering into that experience of, I am part of God. I don't have to worry about this disconnection anymore. It's this connectivity that is so intense, because you can't ignore the feelings that come with those experiences. You have all these visuals, but it brings this intense feeling of belonging and connection that is so profound. Yeah. And I would ask, you guys also took it, but you guys have been doing this hundreds of times. Do you guys still purge or go through that? Because you were acting more as moderators, but you took it with us. What is your experience going through it during the ceremony?
You know, intention, like in intention for us, where, you know, our intention is to be of service and to hold space and do all that mm-hmm. stuff. So the medicine like shows up in that way for us. And so
really?
When we go to do our work in the jungle, we'll go and do dieta, and that's where we tap into our stuff.
Yeah.
But when we're in ceremony, holding ceremony, it's like the intention is all just to be there and be present with everyone. And so the medicine like just keeps us in line.
Yeah, you just like you just take enough so that you're in communication with spirit, with medicine, with what you guys are all. So we're all together networking in the vine, mm-hmm. right? And then I'm being guided more because I'm more open, you know. So mm-hmm. The intention is to help you guys hold the space and channel the music, you know, that comes from spirit as much as possible, be a vessel.
You were transformed, Annie. I described that the sonorousness of your voice was definitely a magical, it was very special in terms, and then how you would resonate with some of your more experienced people who are around there, and just the, and when Bailey, you got involved, it was just incredible in terms of that synergy that you were totally in the zone, so to speak, right? That in the spirit, in that particular process. One of the things I wanted to ask is, have you heard and experienced any really cool experiences where Mama Aya is kind of present even afterwards in the integration period, where some magic takes place afterwards, like in between or like days after? Because I certainly felt something happen that was kind of like, whoa, I was hiding that and it came out and it's not hiding anymore. That's so I wanted to ask you guys if you've seen or felt something where she's working after it's all over.
We're all always. Always. Yeah. Always. Mother Ayahuasca, spirit, you know, once you choose, you know, the intention's everything. You choose, you want to open up, you want to connect with God, you want to know the truth, you want to see how we're connected. You're going to see how we're connected. We're going to see the signs and synchronicities and the gifts from God and the gifts from spirit and how this person said this at the same time as this, and more and more and more you're open, the more those miracles, you know, become the way, you know. Yeah.
All the understanding doesn't just all come to you right there in ceremony. It's when you get back and you're like, oh, okay, I get that, makes sense now. You start connecting the dots once you get home and softening it into it. You start connecting the dots and it starts making sense. And that, like a lot of people call it the glow, like the afterglow. It's like just you're radiating, you're like feeling so good. Still, the medicine's still flowing through you. And so,
yeah, are you guys getting the afterglow?
Well, I had an experience where I think that I was hiding something still and not fully pulled it out, and it came to the surface, and it was a breath of fresh air that it was out in the open, and it was kind of discussed with my wife, and there was a little bit of servant stuff that I did, you know, in terms of just otherness, you know, and selflessness, where you're feeling, you know, that it's not just about you, you know, it feels like it's good to serve, you know, outside of that space. But I wouldn't say that it was like you know, I sat under the Bodhi tree and, you know, and I'm walking around, you know, weightless. I'm not expecting that, but certainly there was some magic happening after the fact.
Yeah, my friend, she just says each time you get to spend those moments with God blesses God so much. Like times that we do ceremony, we connect, like it blesses God a thousand times. I don't know what the number was, but yeah, each little pocket.
The Saturday was a profound day for me because I felt like I had lifted off something. I didn't even know what it was because I had violent poops. And it was like something was trying to get out of my body. And I mean, it was truly violent. And Saturday I was like, cause I lost 10 pounds from the trip. And it was this deep sense of peace as I just sat there in the living room of the house and everybody was kind of walking around having a little breakfast throughout the day. Rich and I sat outside, he was smoking a cigarette and it was just this, wow, to be reminded of what it feels like to let go of something that I shouldn't have been holding on to. You know, it's like, it's a heavy weight that once it's lifted, you're like, oh man, why am I holding on to that? And I didn't have a deep sense of what it was, whatever my body was releasing. And I felt that glow all week. I did. It was just, and I could see, Annie, you and I had a conversation around starting a church or some kind of community that can support that integration process. Cause I think what happens is you go back to the world and the world takes over. Mm-hmm. And not having that sense of consistent dialogue creates a space where it's like, oh, wait a minute. I need that intentionality in my life because I don't think the world likes that level of intentionality. And I loved that vision that you had because I've experienced communities like that. That was probably the most healing moment I've had in probably 10 or 15 years. And I was deeply grateful for it. What is your vision going forward with communities like this? I don't know how much you want to share, but what would you like to see happen?
I mean, I would like to see it. I mean, for lack of a better word, church or a spiritual community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would like to see that being in everybody's, at least in lots of cities, like around mm-hmm. the country. And so that, people can experience God, like have the experience of God through ceremony, through this teacher plant, and then also have each other to talk to about it so that, you know, when they go back to their regular lives to integrate, it's like, do you want to integrate into that? Again, for lack of a better word, lower vibration or like the matrix or the mind, the conditioned way of being? Or do you like, you know, want to be around people who are connecting and learning and trying to open up their heart space more and not doing the grind, you know, and that this is normal. This is life. And so to have that reflection to come to on a regular basis and walk people through, you know, integrating or, you know, how to process their shadows and their life experiences and just almost just to see like, this is normal, you know, coming together, playing music, loving one another, supporting each other. This is normal.
Yes.
That's not normal. Mm-hmm. The other thing's not normal. This is normal.
Right.
You know? Right. And so to have that community to bring this into normalcy.
Yeah. Well, if you go back to the concept of normal, tribes used to use ayahuasca to heal the people that just came back from battles or had family arguments. It's the intention of it is so profoundly good. That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
Its intention is to heal.
We're like going back to the early church. You know, the early church was these small communities that loved and served and, you know, when there was a plague, the Christians would go pull the babies off the heaps, right? They treated women well, and they had these small house churches. Then, you know, Constantine came along, and then it became a big, powerful machine, right? And we're trying to go back to the original, back to the source, if you would, right? Go back to the community of humility and love and not about power and about all these things. I mean, there's a sense of power in that. The power is love, right? And the power is in community and helping each other out, right? And I just, it just felt that way. Your dad, Timothy, you know, I was hugging him the first night, you know, Bailey, I love the man. I love that you guys are blood, you know, and just, I've kept in touch with, you know, Simi, you know, and unfortunately Nikki left right away. I was hoping she was going to stay an extra day, but we had some fun times just chatting, and I thought I was just minding my own business, just walking to the Kaibo. And then I just launched my largest vomit that I can remember in a long time. And we were all laughing about it. It's like, all right, I'm watering that little plant right there. But, you know, that's the thing that I think we need to foster, you know, and I see, you know, obviously people came back that last night, you know, you had Adrienne and a few others who, you know, shared a lot, you know, and one of the things that she mentioned that second night was the sense of community. We were helping out, you know, Dave, because he was going through a lot, right? And you were right there with him, you know, that was a lot that night. And for those moments of the waning hours of the night where there was just a lot going on, right? And it was great that we were able to kind of be kind of that community. And it was one of those things where it was less about me and Jonathan, I think, and more about that. But we got a lot of work to, I got a lot of work to do, right? We got to go back and we got to do this again, you know, and dig in some more, lean in.
Hey, I want to ask you guys, what's one of your favorite stories about doing this? Because you guys have led hundreds of ceremonies. What's one of your favorite stories?
Oh, gosh.
Like of our personal journeys or something?
No, in terms of something it can be from your own experience or something that you've witnessed that really made you realize this is good.
It's always like that. It's always like that. It's always like that.
Each weekend tops the last weekend.
You're like,
just episodes. They just get better. Like, this was the best one ever. How can it get any better, right?
It is like that. I'm like, this is the best weekend we've had so far, you know?
Just seeing people go through the experience when they show up, how they are, and then when they leave, you know, that just, it's so like, it gives
it doesn't
us so
get
much.
Old.
It doesn't get old.
It so doesn't get old. Yeah. Like, I think we have some funny, goofy stories, but, you know. Yeah. But as far as just, you know, the miracles of the miracles, like, mm-hmm. It is nice to be outside. Sometimes we get to be outside and watch the stars. We've seen some, like, things that look like spaceships and comets and comet spaceships.
we've had those weekends where, well, that one was a doozy, but it was, like, it was powerful in its own right, you know, and we get a lot of learnings in the doozies.
Like, what's a doozy?
Like it's a Friday night, but with, you know, just a lot of energy, a lot of healing going on where it's like, okay,
in the other church that we were in, there was like, I called it like a spiritual ER because like everybody needed help. So we're like, all the musicians stopped playing and everybody was getting helped and it was pretty wild. Everybody's like, oh my God, you know, but, I haven't had one of those in a while.
No.
But that one was fun.
And you do have moments where you have to separate people who are, because there's a lot of trauma that does come up. How do you help people work through their trauma when it's coming out? Because we had a lot of people that were going through, they were moaning, they were crying, they were wrestling. How do you help people go through that? Is it you're just present? Or are you helping them process it? What are you doing?
A lot. There's a lot. So like we said earlier, you know, maybe they just need help moving some energy. And so
really?
Some Palo Santo or tobacco or, you know, all like Agua de Florida. But some people just need to come back to themselves. They're, you know, they're not wanting to surrender. So they get stuck in a loop or stuck in whatever because they're not wanting to let go of something or they're scared to look at something. And so it's getting them to come back and to not be scared of what's going on, but to to look at it and process it, because it's what do you
I mean, it's tricky. Like, traditionally you don't really talk in ceremony. We do from time to time. I'll remind someone to go into their body and focus on their breath. Mm-hmm. Everything that's looped out, people who are having trouble, it's just they're thinking. Mm-hmm. They're judging, they're thinking, they're judging their pain, they're judging, and they loop in it. And I guess I'm simplifying it. It could go deeper than that, but that's more or less what's going on. So if you can just get into the breath, get into the body, feel the breathing, and just stay in that present moment space, you're feeling what wants to show up. You're being present for what wants to show up. And then that shadow can dance. That energy can move. So it's like a big one that I recommend for people to do. But things like tobacco and Palo Santo, it's supposed to clear the mind. It's supposed to, like when I gave you the sopla, it's just to clear the mind so that the body can be, you can go back into the body and mm-hmm. feel what wants to be, to feel. So like, I don't think, you know, like God doesn't live anywhere else but in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, let's meet God. You know, how do we do mm-hmm. that? We breathe, we go into our body, we stay present. And all that other stuff, the demons and hell realm, I don't know. I like using different languages for all this stuff, you know, but like, that's the issue is that realm. And it gets exasperated by where we've stored traumas in our bodies, right? So it comes up. All those things, the Palo Santo, just singing and moving energy in the room can help, like, just kind of stir it. One person over there purging can help that person over there because it's an energy that's being cleared and felt together collectively, and all the issues that I feel like I'm changing the subject.
It's okay.
It's because my other channel, I channel, like, you know, like I just, bleh.
You're sharing the experience. Let me ask you guys a question in terms of one of the things that was really profound for me, but I think, like, as you just said, music can change the mood in the room. You guys are both musicians and singers. How did you learn to add to the value of the ceremony? Is that something that they trained you on, or did you over time learn the music? Because I can honestly say your ayahuasca song, Bailey, I have heard in my head 1,000 times. It keeps coming back because it's such a simple, beautiful song, but I still have it in my dreams.
Of course.
It's all the medicine. I didn't have any musical anything. I didn't touch
really?
Any or sing or anything until the medicine. So I started doing this stuff.
Wow.
And see, then, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, healing, literally healing cancer, musical ability. I think that's kind of underrepresented in terms of the kinds of things that it can do. Everybody thinks in terms of trauma, like you relive the pain of when you were 6 years old and it's lived and it's buried down there and you wonder why your life is fucked up, and boom, some things that you might not even be aware, right? There's things that you know happen, and then there's things that there's some like channel, like in Inception, you know, where you've got Leonardo DiCaprio. Have you guys seen the movie Inception, where he instills something in somebody's mind and he goes all the way deep? It's almost like going deep, deep, deep past the railroad tracks where his gal Mal is, and he screwed her up in a bad way. And so what I'm getting at is, I mean, are people starting to see more? Because, I mean, you'd almost want to say, hey, listen, here's the x-ray of this gal with breast cancer on Tuesday of last week, and here's her x-ray on, you know, Tuesday of 2 weeks later. It's like, I don't know if people just need that these days, but you never really hear about those kinds of magical aspects of ayahuasca today in terms of, I'd never heard of that kind of gift that she gives in terms of what you just described so far today. Are you seeing more of that, or is it just kind of commonplace and it's just one of those unspoken things?
It's, you know, it's already there. And she's just kind of revealing it, right? Mm-hmm. She's removing the blockages and the layers to that, to your talents, to your medicine, your own medicine, because you are the medicine. And so, yeah,
she's true.
Yeah.
Well, I heard a quote from Rumi today. It was in my Instagram feed, and I'm paraphrasing, but essentially is, your job isn't to get love. Your job is to remove the barriers that keep you from experiencing what's already there. And I think that's what you did. Is you part of the ceremonies, for me at least, was I went in with an open heart and open mind, like, okay, I'm open to anything. And for you, it was like, hey, it removed a block to see, oh, I am musical. I have that part in me. And for me, it was really recognizing that so much of life is the blocks that I place in front of myself. My whole first night was about letting go of my own resistance. And I can see how a progression, I can see the value of three nights in a row. We only did two, that you can keep going down the rabbit hole and discovering more things to eliminate. Like, that's the intention. You're not going to get something. You're going to eliminate something that allows you to see everything.
That's the Matrix.
Yeah.
Neo always had the gift. He right. just, all the barriers just went away. Right. Right. And then, you know, there was an NPR thing about this guy. It was called a hidden brain. This guy dove into a pool and cracked his skull open on one of the steps in there. He didn't see it was there. He wakes up out of his coma, starts playing the piano like he's never played. Now, that was a different kind of catalyst, but this is what we're opening the world to, is that we're realizing that if we lead with love, especially Bailey, I think you've learned once the trauma and the PTSD of the military and the things you there, once you led with love, then all of a sudden it's just opening. It's like, I always had this. Now, maybe your thumbnail wasn't that long before, so you could play the ukulele better. But, you know, I'm sure that we lean into that, right?
Definitely. everything is just coming back to yourself. Yeah. Just always coming back.
Yeah, we always had it all. We always had the love. We always had it. Mm-hmm. We have it.
Yeah.
We have it.
Let me ask you guys this question. How is this journey? So, Bailey, I think you said 2016, 2015, 16. And Annie, when was your first time?
Same thing.
Same time.
2016, yeah.
My question is, how has the experience over the last 8 years for both of you changed you guys?
I guess for me, it's being able to separate out the character of Bailey that's been created and structured into a way that was causing a lot of suffering to me inside, because it wasn't me. It was a make-believe character.
Caricature. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so it's really removed, just dissolving that character and letting my true self come out without the limitations of that box that character put me into. And so it's, for me, it's a constant removing of the layers of that character and finding myself and realizing I am everything that I need is within me, and whatever thoughts or beliefs that it's not there, it's the character, and I need to remove some more layers to that. And so it's completely changed my life. I didn't know what I was doing or where I was going, and now I've found my way in service and just being a light for other people to find their way, so they can find their light within them.
Mm-hmm. Annie, what about you?
That's a really hard question to answer. I don't know why. I'm probably very similar as I was 8 years ago, and yet, like, I'm less of a seeker in a sense that I don't need to figure anything out anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't need external validation like I used to. So I don't need to be anybody or anything to exist. I don't have those programs any longer. And so I feel a lot less burdened and more free. Like, I don't even have to, if I don't want to clean my room, I don't have to, because there's not a voice telling me, I'm not really fighting the voices telling me I'm no good because my room's a mess. I'm just giving you an example.
Sure. Yeah.
But for anything, like, you need to make this kind of money, you need to have this kind of job, you need to be this kind of mother, you need to, you know, I don't have that. So I can follow more instinctual impulses of what my spirit and soul wants to do in those moments. And I'm not getting like caught behind so much of the doing of the matrix of the conditioning. So I've just missed.
Yeah.
It's that, and that's a big difference for me.
Yeah. Cause we, over the course of this podcast, we've sort of listened to the definitions of the podcast. And I think the matrix is our perception of what everybody else thinks about us. And we're trying to control that. And by trying to engage that, we become controlled by it. So we're trying to fulfill all those expectations. And to get out of the matrix is not to leave it behind, because we still live in the world that has all those voices. It's not to be controlled by them. And that's a very powerful place when the world can't control you, because it's freedom. Going back to what I think Jesus really was trying to communicate is the sense of freedom to be who you really are, which is part of God, which is you were created from God. And that freedom allows us not to have to worry about appeasing all those voices in our lives. And it sounds like you guys have really done that. I saw you guys are two of the most compassionate people I think I've ever met.
Yeah.
So honestly, I mean, that's my blessing to you, because I think you guys really brought, again, I've been doing healing work for 30 years on myself and with other people. And I deeply appreciated the level of intentionality. And you can only, and I've learned over those 30 years, you can't create the level of intentionality to create that level of compassion for a large group of people without a deep sense of love. So thank you. Yeah. And we all felt it. So, Rich, any final questions?
Well, I just knew the first time I chatted with Bailey, when he sent us a text just to see if there were any questions, I just knew that it was going to be a good ride. You know, the thing that I think about going back to the scripture, and he's like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. That's it. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom within. And it's this community. And you seek that, you lead with love, and everything else will fall into place. And that's it's so simple. It's just timeless, right? And I think the more we spend time with each other and learn and share and love and even struggle through stuff, this is all part of the way. This is the way. So.
And for our viewers, how do people find you, and when is your next retreat?
Yeah. So we're on Facebook. Ayahuasca Soul Tribe on Facebook. Okay. We have a Facebook page. Instagram is Aya Soul Tribe.
Website.
Yeah, iasoultribe.org.
iasoultribe.org is our website, which will guide you to the Facebook and the Instagram if you want to check out. Our next ceremony is in Joshua Tree, October 25th, 6th, 7th, right? Mm-hmm. And
you have an option to join the tribe, and we'll send out emails with updates and upcoming happenings and all that.
And stuff. I will put all of this in the show notes for anybody listening, so you guys can click through. I know Rich and I and Dave talked about doing it again, because I think my journey is, I have a lingering thought of what was that third night going to be like, and I didn't do it. So I want to continue the process, knowing there's more there for me to discover, because I think it's something profound. So if any of our listeners want to go, reach out to us. We will, because we are planning on going again. Hey, I want to thank you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been one of my funnest episodes. I mean that. It is, because I love you guys. You guys are our medicine. You guys are our doctors. And I appreciate you guys. And you're our medicine people. I have a wonderfully deep appreciation for that.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you, Rich. It was an honor and a pleasure having y'all out there a couple of weekends ago. Y'all have great energy, and looking forward to hearing more of your podcast. It's a beautiful thing that y'all are doing and speaking your truths. And so thank y'all so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Rich, any final words?
No, just I'm looking forward to a deeper journey. This has just been a kind of, you know, we knew this is going to be a fun episode, but at the same time, it's just reinforcing, you know, a lot of things, right? And it's going to be a fun ride. I'm looking forward to digging in more and learning more and eventually maybe, you know, spending a lot more time in a community or a church, whatever we call it, you know, and we actually build this little microcosm bigger and bigger at a time. You know, the world needs us, you know, they need this experience. You know, there's so much pain and trauma and stuckness, right? There's a lot of people stuck out there and why not embrace it, you know, and see what that could look like and envision it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to say to all of our listeners, this is probably the one time I'm going to say it, is I recommend this for anybody who wants to be intentional about transforming their lives. It's probably one of the very best experiences I have ever had that you just participate in. And if you can face your fear and overcome your own sense of, ooh, is this voodoo? It's not. It's medicine. And it was medicine for me. So for those who are listening, please just take a look at it, because if it's something that your spirit and your body needs, it is profound. And my experience and Rich's experience and Dave's experience and a lot of the community's experience was profound. And that happens over and over and over. I think this is growing, and I encourage anybody to look, follow Bailey and Annie, listen to what's going on and check it out, because it has tremendous value that is way outside of the matrix, but it is one of the very best ways, I think, to introduce you to life outside the matrix. So for all of our listeners, please subscribe, comment, let us know. If you would like to join us on the retreat in Joshua Tree coming up, please let us know. We'd love to host you and have you come along with us. To Bailey and Annie, thank you so much for joining us. This has been an absolute wonderful experience. And much love, everybody. Have a great weekend.